Heavenly Father, thank you today for your presence. Thank you for freedom in Jesus. Thank you for the sound of this season, Lord. I pray that our hearts would continue to hear the trumpet call of your voice, and that, Lord, this would be a time not only of freedom, but of just being gathered to your presence, gathered into your purpose as a church family. We ask that as we look into your word this morning, you would continue to just grow and expand our hearts and ground our hearts in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's recap week four a little bit. Last week we were talking about sons and citizens and heirs, and we really focused in about the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. We saw in chapter 3, 26, you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone say, you are all. Tell somebody that means you. All right. So we learned that when we were born again, born from above, the Lord recorded it like on a heavenly birth certificate. And based on that supernatural birth that we had, we became citizens. Or I was kind of putting, you know, we're naturalized citizens of America, but we're supernaturalized citizens of the kingdom. That's what happens when you're born again. And you have this birth certificate, and it's recorded. And we were just talking about how in terms of relationship, we're family. And in terms of rights and privileges, you're a kingdom citizen. And God's family has no second-born sons. And God's kingdom has no second-class citizens. And that is a good place to say, yes, Lord, amen. Okay, so we agree with that. I mean, it's such a good thing to remember, like, you belong here. I was giving you an example of a story. If you weren't here, I'll share it briefly. We were returning from Italy one time, Rachel and I, about 5 years ago, and we were coming in through Washington Dulles Airport in D.C., and we were in the, you know, citizens line and residence line, and there's the visitor and kind of foreigner line over here. And there was a young Asian American guy in line with us, and somebody came up to him that was working for TSA or whatever, whoever works in that department, and they were obviously a foreigner, and they looked at this guy who was an Asian American, and they said, "You're in the wrong line." And he's like, "No." He held his passport. He's like, "I'm a U.S. citizen. I think I'm in the right line." And he was basically saying, "I belong here. I'm in the right place." And what we learn from that is sometimes our citizenship, our identity is going to get challenged, right? But we can stand on the word of God. We can hold up our passport and say it with me, "I belong here." Okay? So important. Then we were looking at Galatians 3:26, how there's no Jew, neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And we found that none of these differences are really adjectives that we can put before or behind in terms of adding significance to this miracle that's happened of becoming a new creation. You can't add any of those words to the word son or new creation or Christian, because none of these distinctions qualify you for a greater status in God's kingdom, because nothing can qualify you more than the cross of Jesus already has. Nothing can qualify you more than the cross of Jesus has already qualified you. Can't be enhanced in any way. And we also talked about, hey, don't try to add a disclaimer either. Sometimes believers say things like, you know, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." You ever heard that? You ever said that? "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Justa. Whatever. I'm just a good for nothing vapor. And I know I can find chapters and verses in the Bible along with you that says our life is a vapor and, you know, "Thou worm, O Jacob." And you can find all these things in Scripture and say, "Yeah, that's me. I'm just a worm. I'm just a vapor. I'm just a sinner." But I think sometimes we do that at our own peril, because what we're doing, while I think sometimes we're trying to say that in the natural, in the old life, like I there's nothing of value there. I need to identify with Christ. But sometimes we're actually attaching those statements to our new life in Christ, and they're actually not true. Did you know that's not true? Did you know the Bible now calls you a saint, not a sinner? Like when Paul was writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, he said to all in Rome, called saints. Saints. A little bit quiet in here. God is good. He loves you. This is what I'm saying. Listen, you are a new creation with new tendencies and new hereditary traits and new abilities that take after your Father in heaven, not just your parents on earth. When you're saying you're just a sinner, you're saying, I came from the first Adam. When you recognize, hey, I'm a saint, you're recognizing the work of the second Adam, Jesus, on the cross, and you're saying, I'm a new creation. Tell somebody you're a saint. That's not pride. That's actually humility. It's saying, this is because of what Jesus has done, and I'm identifying with that, not just in my own self. This is the good news of the gospel. Hey, everybody, this is the good news. You're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. Now, part of the growth process and maturity process in our lives is where our lives and our living, breathing, walking around, going to work lives look like that identity and not like that old identity. That's the process of maturation. And we're going to get into that a little bit today in chapter 5. But I just want to remind us, like, we can't have this mindset that puts some qualifying term in front of Christ. Because when we do that, we're basing our spiritual standing at least in part on who we are. I'm a Jewish Christian. I'm a Gentile Christian. I'm a man. I'm a woman. Whatever. We're basing it on who we are instead of who he is. And this series is really all about Jesus. Our salvation, our spiritual standing is based on who Jesus is and our trust and faith in him and what he's done, not our faith and trust in ourselves. Okay? Now, we ended last week in Galatians 4:7, just recapping. And in Galatians 4:7, we found that, I forgot to give you one more good statement here on the front cover. Let me do that before I move on. There's only one kind of Christian, one that goes through the cross and comes out a new creation. Can you say amen to that? Only one kind of Christian, one that goes through the cross and comes out a new creation. All right. Now, we ended last week, Galatians 4:7. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. No longer a slave to trying to work for right standing with God, a slave to works, a slave to fear, a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave. You've been made free. Your citizenship, the fact that you're a citizen, the fact that you're family, the fact that you're a new creation means that you are free, and you are free indeed, and you are free in categorically and totally free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, the Scripture says. Free, free, free. All right, that tees us up for the key passages that we want to look at in chapter 5 this morning. And maybe you saw on the front cover that I titled this message, What Will You Do With Freedom? And you know, there's an inspiring battle scene in the movie Braveheart, and I can't endorse the entire movie or all the scenes, but it's overall a pretty good movie, and it's really inspiring. And a couple of fast-forward spots in there, but there's this one inspiring scene where they're about to go into battle, and William Wallace asks his countrymen, he says, what will you do without freedom? But I think this passage this morning is asking us this question, what will you do with freedom? What are you going to do with the freedom God has given you? Are we going to stand in it and live in it and let our lives become a blessing? Or are we going to steward it in the wrong kinds of ways? And that's what we're getting into today. Because, you know, there's a couple of options we have there. So what we're going to do is this. Point number one, let's just give this point and then we'll begin to unpack it. Stand firm is part of where we're basing this, and let me give you the statement of point number one. As we learn to stand in Christ, we can then begin to walk in the Spirit. As we learn to stand in Christ, we can then begin to walk in the Spirit. And we have this statement, stand firm or stand fast, in Galatians 5, verse 1. We're going to get there in a second. Think about this for a minute. As a son, when you're a newborn baby, one of the first things babies do after they crawl is they learn to stand. You have to stand before you walk, right? And we see a progression in Galatians 5. In verse 1, it says that we're to stand in Christ. And then in verse 16, it says we're to walk in the Spirit. Babies don't walk before they stand. We have to learn to stand in who He is first. Then we can walk and live it out. Can you say amen? Okay, we're going to talk about this a little bit. That's one big idea here that we're going to look at in these verses. Let's read verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage or a yoke of slavery." Stand fast, therefore. So there's a whole allegory he gives in chapter 4. And he gets to the end of it. And he's already said, you've been made free. And now he's saying, you need to stand firm in that freedom. And don't go back and get tangled up and wrapped up in that old life of slavery again. No longer slaves, but sons. This new freedom. And it's now been pretty well established that the works-based gospel is not the gospel at all. We've learned that in the first few chapters. What matters is faith in Christ and this miracle called the new creation. And we're now free. And what he's saying is that we're to stand in the freedom Christ has purchased for us, to stand firm in the finished work of the cross. Psalm 40, verse 2 says this, kind of a good companion passage to Galatians 5. Psalm 40 verse 2 says that he also brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. So he brought me out of this place I was stuck and bound. And then it says this, he set my feet upon a rock. You remember Pastor Rachel's message, standing on the big old rock? He set my feet upon a rock, so I'm standing. And then it says, he established my steps. Now I'm walking. I'm free, I'm standing, then I'm walking. Now that you have freedom to walk and liberty to move in liberty in your life and who you really are and what you're called to do and what you were born to do and walk in relationship with God and be a blessing to the world around you. Now that you have this kind of liberty in your life, don't go back and get tangled up in the stuff you got set free from. Don't go back to the old addictions, the old patterns, the old habits, the old junk that Jesus died to set you free from. Do you know what we're doing when we go back to that stuff? We're saying, Jesus, I kind of appreciate what you did, but I still kind of like this. I mean, Jesus died to set us free from that stuff. Amen, Pastor. That's a good word. That is a good word. We need to think about it like that. Don't get ensnared again in the slavery you've been set free from. You've been taken out of the mud. Why would you go diving headlong back into it face first? The Bible talks about, you know, a dog goes back to his vomit and the pig, returns to whatever. After it's been washed, it goes right back to the pigsty. Like, he's talking about how the fool returns to his folly. And that old nature, that old sin nature has a tendency to want to go back to its old junk. But that's not who you are anymore. See, that was dealt with at the cross of Calvary. There's this new nature inside of you, this new creation. All things have been made new. New sonship. You're a son, you're a citizen, you're an heir. There's something new going on. And this chapter is like, hey, we're going to talk about what that looks like, how to live from that place. So Galatians 5 is really unpacking this. Now, we saw in Galatians a ways back, we were talking about foundations and how Jesus is the only foundation and that he's full of grace and truth. And if you remember this, in Galatians 1 through 4, we saw that it confronts truth. This is in your notes. Truth without grace. It brings us to a works-based gospel that tends to legalism or tends toward legalism. It tends towards this kind of orientation where it's all about, you know, rule-keeping and the do's and the don'ts and earning my own way and all that kind of thing. Getting circumcised, things like that. It's all external. But now Galatians 5 and 6 confronts grace without truth. 1 through 4 is truth without grace. 5 through 6 is going to start also confronting that as well as grace but without truth. Sometimes people want to talk about grace. Wow, grace is so amazing. Grace, 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 grace. And it's like this ticket to do whatever they come into their little head to do. But it's grace disconnected from truth. And that tends towards what we'll call this morning license. What do I mean by license? It's the thinking that God's grace permits me to do whatever I want, like it's a license to indulge myself however I want without any thought for others and without any effects or negative consequences. There was some movie that came out recently, and I started watching it, and I shut it off right away because it was I forget, the movie might have been called this, or it might have just had this quote in it, but it was called something like Hall Pass. And the idea of this movie is this guy, the guys are going on a getaway weekend, and the wife has given him a hall pass to do whatever he wants on his weekend away. Gag me with a spoon. I mean, like, let's go back straight 80s quotes. Straight 80s quotes. No, really. And this is a movie, and this is what people watch to entertain themselves. Oh, yay, this is so cool. Let's get a hall pass. I mean, that is one of the most broken, twisted things I've ever heard. People think of, Airplane. I'm like, let's find Star Wars or something else that's fun to watch that's more edifying. Okay. May the force be with you. Okay. Sorry. No. I'm just playing. So here's the thing. This idea of a hall pass is what people look at with grace sometimes. I'm in the cross now, and now I've been given a hall pass to indulge myself in all kinds of gnarly stuff. That's not good for me, and it's going to actually end up having severe consequences in my own personal physical body and soul, with my relationships, with my relationship with God. It's going to do all this damage. Grace is not some carte blanche to go and do whatever you want and to create all this damage in yourself and in others and in your connection with God. That is not grace. That is a horrible distortion of grace. So Paul is dealing with that here as well. So what I'm trying to say is that freedom in Christ can be misinterpreted as do whatever you want. Is that the freedom Paul's saying to stand in? In Galatians 5:1? No, that's a really incomplete picture. And that kind of attitude, it leads to a different kind of slavery, not just a slavery to legalism, but a slavery to sin. And the call here is to stand in the freedom Christ has given you, not be entangled again either in the slavery to the works-based orientation or the slavery to a life that's bound in sin. The Bible teaches us that whatever we yield to, we become servants to obey that thing. Some people are like bought by Christ but yielding to something that's not of Christ, and they become more identified with that thing that's ungodly and tangled up in it again, wrapped up in it again. And God doesn't want us to be wrapped up and tangled up, anything like that. He wants to come with the sword of his word and just set us free from all those entanglements and not have us, you know, drawn back into it again. Movies always just go through my head. I'm so sorry. Rachel knew I was going to do this. Do you feel it? Oh, okay. I was thinking of like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. No. Okay. I was thinking of Sam and Frodo with, you know, in the big spider, and Sam was cutting through all of the, like, God wants to take the sword of his word and just cut us free from all those entanglements. All right. There's a few LOTR geeks out there, and I think you probably appreciate that. All right. Galatians 5:13 ties right into this. Let's look at this verse. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So now we're getting some guidelines around this liberty, if you will. You don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love you're going to serve each other. Now, opportunity, it means this. The word opportunity means a base of operations. Don't use your liberty as this base of operations. Like, okay, I got this liberty. Yeah, it's going to be the base of operations to indulge everything I want to do in my life and justify it all. Yay for me. That's not really what that's talking about. You guys understand what it, you guys, this is pretty obvious, right? You know where I'm coming from, you're feeling this, you've seen it, but sometimes I think it also needs to be said, because we just, you know, we can't put it past the deceitfulness of sin to, you know, try to work its way into our thinking. It's important just to say it out loud sometimes. This is crazy thinking, and we got to just address it and deal with it. Okay. So we're not using our freedom as a base of operations to indulge the old nature. It's not who you are anymore. And really, you know, freedom turned into selfishness is freedom lost. Freedom turned into selfishness is freedom lost. When we think like, hey, I can just go and do all this stuff, that thing that was free, when it gets turned in toward just self-indulgence, the free part that let you even do that in the first place is now gone. You've just given it up. Let's read this verse in the Message translation as well, Galatians 5:13. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Can somebody say amen? Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Next slide. It's kind of a part two of that verse. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. What are you going to do with your freedom? We asked that question at the beginning of this message. Well, one of the things we need to do is serve one another in love, because that's how the freedom grows, this liberty. See, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Basically, this is saying, begin to live your life in a way where you're connected with the Spirit of the Lord, where you're walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, where you're serving others in love. You're doing things that cause freedom to grow because you're connecting with the one who is freedom and living life connected to the one who is freedom. That's what this is now talking about. Okay, let's go on to point number two. New life in Christ looks like something. More accurately, it looks like someone. And that someone is Jesus. More and more, it looks like Jesus. New life in Christ looks like something. That's one of the big thoughts in Galatians chapter 5. So we've seen we're no longer slaves. We're sons. As a son, this is the thing. You have a new spiritual DNA that's being discovered, and it's unfolding in everyday life. You know, over the years, when one of our kids would do something wild or funny or crazy or awesome even and amazing, Rachel and I would look at one of them, and we still do this sometimes, and say, whose child are you? We're going, where did that come from? And if it's really a crazy thing they do, we're like, well, I'll say to Rachel, like, hey, that's your son. She'll say, that's your daughter. And, you know, we have a little fun with that, and then we tease the kids a little bit. And we're saying sometimes jokingly, sometimes seriously, he gets that from you or she gets that from you. Like, we're noticing a trait or a family characteristic in them. Now, I'll put this in another illustration for a second. Ben has this dog named Roxy, and she's also our family dog, and she's my running buddy often. And on occasion, I take her to fire roads. We're in Novato. On most of the fire roads, you're allowed to have the dog off leash and under voice control. And so I'll take her on trails like that, because I've gotten a ticket on trails that were not like that and learned my lesson. So that's a whole nother story. And you know, the big criminal that I am, having my, okay. Anyway, I'm not bitter at all. So here's what she'll do. On a couple of occasions, I've seen her do something really unusual, and knowing this about her now makes me use more caution, but here's what she'll do. If we're ever in a place where there's cattle, she will run so fast, she'll sprint, even if it's like half a mile away, she'll sprint towards those cattle, barking in weird tones I've never heard her use before, and she'll begin to run circles around those cows, herding them, getting them up, getting them in a group, and then bringing them back towards me. Now, Rachel, one of her, like a lot of people are afraid of like clowns. Rachel's afraid of two things, frogs and cows. And so if she's ever with Roxy and she does this, this is like a horror movie for her, okay? So, but she'll get them in a group. Listen to this. She doesn't know why she's doing it. It's almost like she can't help it. And now that I know better, I keep her on the leash to avoid situations like that. But when I'm around cattle, but why is she doing this? Because it's in her genes. She's an Australian Shepherd cattle dog mix. Somewhere, even though she was never trained, somehow in her breeding, she was bred to herd cattle, and it's just in her blood. And we're out there on the trail, and all of a sudden she gets a scent. And she doesn't know why, but it triggers something deep inside of her. Something comes alive. She was born to do this. And she's like, I've got to go get them. I'm going to bring them to you. Look at me bringing them to you. Aren't you happy with me? Look at this. I'm so good at this. And she is so happy while she's doing it. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this morning, when you received Jesus, something supernatural happened. In Christ, you are a new creation. His nature is in you. In Christ, in your notes now, in Christ, you have new spiritual genetics with new hereditary traits and tendencies. And sometimes, as you're walking with the Lord, all of a sudden, there's a desire there to forgive, to serve, to love, to obey. Something is there innate in you. You don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden it brings you such great joy. You know why you were alive, and you step out and do something that you never would have done before you received Jesus, because you're a new creation with new inherited tendencies and traits. There's a new spiritual genetics at work in your life. There's a new DNA. You're taking after you're taking after your Heavenly Father's. What's happening? And that's what Paul really is trying to say here. It's what God's Spirit through Paul is trying to point out to us here. Using your freedom to indulge yourself is completely contrary to your new nature. It's not who you are anymore. You have new tendencies that take after your Father and look progressively more and more like Jesus. Sometimes we get shocked. Maybe this has happened to you. You get shocked even with your own response after coming to the Lord. When you get wrong, do you have a desire to forgive, to fix it? Instead of anger, you're like, no, I want to forgive you. I want to bless you. Where on earth did that come from? It didn't come from earth at all. It came from heaven, your Heavenly Father. It's a new spiritual genetics inside of you. You know, sometimes in the natural, when we have a certain talent or possibly a certain weakness or flaw or in our makeup or our personality, we say things like, well, it's in my blood. It's in my blood. And what we're saying is, I inherited this. But let's start talking about the new bloodline. Let's start talking about what we've inherited because of the blood of Jesus. We sing that song, His blood flows through my veins. And I believe that's a spiritual reality of the new birth and the new creation. Not physical, but a spiritual reality of the new creation. Let's start talking about what's in the new bloodline. Let's start talking about the tendencies and the graces that come with the new DNA. Let's start recognizing that in ourselves. Let's start recognizing that in each other. Let's start recognizing that there is this whole new thing happening. I don't know if you realize this, but the day you got saved, it's like, I don't know if you ever look at like a history timeline of the last 6,000 years of the world, and a lot of those timelines, they'll show the cross, and everything is BC before that cross, and AD after the cross. But if you look at the timeline of your life, there is a cross on that timeline, the tree of life, that old, rugged cross. And at that point in your life, when you receive Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him, something happened where there is now a BC before Christ, and there is an AD, your new life in Christ, and there is a marker right in the middle, and it's a clear-cut marker, and it's the moment that everything changed. The moment where you were in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you're a new creation. And at that moment of the new birth, where you received a new nature, what I'm trying to say is that in that moment, you got a whole new spiritual DNA. And sin is no longer the default setting inside of you. There's a new operating system. And it has all new default settings. The new default setting that is in you is a default setting that loves God's presence, that loves doing the right thing, that loves serving other people, that lives for the kingdom. That's the new you. Yeah, the new you is growing. It's a baby. It's learning to stand. It's learning to walk. It's learning to navigate life. But it's the new you. That is in there. And once in a while, as you're starting to develop, all of a sudden, you sense the presence of God. You feel the wind of the Holy Spirit, and you're like my dog. You're like, I just felt something. time to run. And off you go. Because you're like, I was born for this. I was born for this. Think about that for a minute. Some of you have got some struggles going on. We all have seasons of struggle. There's some stuff you're needing to break free from. You need to get out from under the lie that sin, that in Christ, you've given your heart to Jesus, sin is not your default setting anymore. There's something new inside of you. So, like, he is working in you. And as we continue in Galatians 5, Paul really contrasts a couple of things. He now contrasts that old life, the Bible calls the old man, this is the flesh, that old self life, that sin nature, with this new creation nature in Christ. And we're going to kind of scroll down, if you will, to round about verse 16. I'm just going to touch on that and then jump to verse 19. He's talking about this battle, really, between the new and the old. One time I heard it said, you know, who's going to win that battle? Is it going to be the flesh or the spirit, the old nature or the new creation? The answer is, the one who wins is the one you feed more. The one you feed more. And that's what we're doing here today, and that's what we're doing in our daily lives, following Jesus. We're feeding that new life. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Talks about those two fight against each other. And then it contrasts them, beginning in verse 19. Let's pick up reading. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. He's like, this list is not exhaustive. By the way, that's true of the fruit of the Spirit as well. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what that means at least. If you're living, even though you're a new creation, but still living according to the old, there's a whole inheritance you're not going to be living in or experiencing. And I think it can, I think it also means some things more extreme than that, but we'll start there. Like, God wants us to live with the inheritance, the beauty of the inheritance that he has for us. Let's go on to verse 22. Here's the contrast. Here's the new creation DNA. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, we have literally, I've literally done like a Wednesday night series, taking a whole week on each one of those words, or sometimes even more than a week in each one of those words. Okay, so there's a lot we could dive into with this. My point today is not to unpack those. I think they do also stand alone. My point today is to show us the contrast. Paul is saying, don't go back and get entangled with that old yoke of bondage again. Back to that works-keeping legalistic thing or that licentious thing where you just, you know, everything goes. And I think we can fall into either of those at different times in our walk with the Lord. And we need to come back onto the path of God's grace again and not fall into the ditch of license on the one hand or the ditch of legalism on the other. To stand fast in the liberty that's been given to us in Jesus and not use that liberty unto our own selfish ends, but to let that liberty and that freedom grow in our lives. I'm going to go on and read verse 24. This is what we're called to do. It begins with, this is what you got to do. Verse 1, it begins with stand. And this is part of how we stand. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I feel like this is a verse I read today, and I felt like I was reading it for the first time, even though I've read it I don't know how many times. Those who belong to Christ, you have the authority and the power to do something very significant. To take the passions and desires of that old sinful nature and nail it to the cross of Jesus. It goes on to say in verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We're standing, we're walking in the Spirit, nailing the passions and desires of the old nature to the cross. I want to invite the worship team to come. We're going to have a time of response now at this point. And I feel a couple of things this morning as we do this. A couple of things stirring in my heart today. The first thing is that I believe God wants to give every one of us a greater understanding of the amazing power of the new creation, of how amazing you are as a son, how amazing you are as a daughter. Not like, wow, I'm so amazing, but to stop minimizing, not in a prideful way, but to stop minimizing. We think that it's humility sometimes to be like, oh, I'm such a sinner and I'm so lame and I'm just a worm and I'm a vapor and I'm just, ah. And we think we're being humble saying all that. Humility is not humiliation. And by the way, a lot of times when we're doing that, we're like, I'm more humble. Who can be lower? Who can be the lowest? No, I'm more humble. And it's actually just pride. We're having a humble contest. Paul said in another place, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he was talking about what God had done, and he was excited about it. And he knew it was by grace. And he was boasting in the Lord in the sense that a child would say of their dad, just like how amazed they are. And he was just boasting in the Lord. And I feel like in community, we need to have more unabashed admiration for the new nature in each other than we do fear of the sin nature in each other. Sometimes we're like, man, I better have all these things in place because if I don't, man, these people, they're people. They're going to act like people. They're going to do people stuff, and it's going to be bad. What about recognizing that believers have a new nature inside of them? Are there standards? Absolutely. Are we seeing them in Galatians 5? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But the Lord wants to add, he wants to deepen the understanding of the fact that his grace has made you a new creation. And there are some new genetics with that. And we can trust him in that. And then secondly, I feel like the Lord is just highlighting that there's some stuff that some people of individuals, and there could be such a wide range of things. But there's something that you're tangled up in. And very simply this morning, it's a time to nail that to the old rugged cross. The cross of Jesus. Clinging to the old rugged cross. You know those old hymns? They have so much depth in them. So much theological depth in the old hymns and the old songs. Our new songs are really good too. But they have a lot of depth in them. A lot of theology in them. And the reason they have a lot of theology in them is because it was a time where they were trying to use those songs to teach people theology. And help them understand that you're never too mature in your life to come back to that place every day of clinging to the cross of Jesus. Paul said, by which the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And maybe this morning there's something that you're just stuck in a little bit, and the Lord wants to bring freedom to your life. Would you stand up with me? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray. And we're going to have a response time, some prayer ministry at the altar. I invite you to come be a part of that in the next few minutes. Just lift your hands with me this morning if you would. If there's anything you feel tangled up in right now, something that has a hold on you like it should not, this is the time this morning to take that, bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, would you take this? Would you just let it be nailed to the cross today? God, we take those things that are ungodly entanglements or distractions or things that we're stuck in that we should not be stuck in and give them over to you this morning. Let the power of the finished work of the cross release freedom today. You're the one who takes us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet on a rock and establishes our footsteps. I pray that over your people this morning.